Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. We have a lot to do this morning, and so let's get going into it. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly, how grateful we are for your word, how grateful we are for the music, and those people involved in music that you have sent to us, Father, that we can sing praises to you. And Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. What we're going to sing, Brian?
Which is very near the index of the hymnal. If you have a hymnal nearby, would you go to just about the end, beyond the Star Spangled Banner, beyond the Pharisees of High Esteem, and to Never Alone? It actually says 107.
In fact, page 513, it should be across from that on some of them. 513. It'll be across the page from 513. Anyone not have it, we got other hymnals. You do not have it. All right? Now you do. Okay. Okay, let's all stand and sing together.
I've heard the words of my Savior.
James faithful.
Yeah. All right. Okay, first of all, I thank you for your prayers. Judith and I made it back from Wichita Falls. It was a wonderful time, even though it was a funeral service, but somebody is as close to the Lord as Gloria was, and nearly all the family, also Bible students. It was just a wonderful, joyful time. It's one of the interesting things that happened, and I've never had it happen before, in over 43 years of doing services, funerals. A man at work at the funeral home came up and he said, "That was super. I'm going to steal a lot that you said today." I said, "Hey, some of my best original ideas I've stole." That was very good. And there were a few unbelievers there, and I requested your prayer for the funeral director. I gave him our card, and he said he was going to try to tune into some of our lessons. And in prayer for some of the unbelievers that were there, that the Holy Spirit will continue to convict their soul and of the truth. And it was just a really wonderful, wonderful time there. And let's see, the Wises have made it home, so we're happy for that. And the Macmillans made it home. And everybody else, is anybody else traveling? Everybody else? They're just here all the time. All right. So, we have a business meeting at the end. And so I want to just get going through these things, get this taken care of. So, the business meeting involves money. It involves, one thing I've never been good, and that's promoting, getting my office building probably. But it does have to be talked about sometimes. And the building cost, internet cost, and so there are things that do cost some money. So the Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, but not only that, knows how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. As it is the Spirit who guides in regard to our money, our lives, decisions we make. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this assembly. We're so thankful for the opportunities that you give us. The internet, young people, missionaries, and right here in our own assembly. We pray, Father, that you receive the offerings that we're about to give. We'll continue to use this assembly to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. before we open to Proverbs chapter 3, we want to say something about camp?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You're on. You're on.
So, just real quickly, camp is 2 weeks. The staff goes up 2 weeks from today. Actually, yesterday, some of us will be going up. Please continue to be in prayer. Staff are coming in from all over the place. A lot of people traveling. Campers are coming in from all over the place. We just have crazy huge numbers, and I'm so excited about the numbers, but I'm also excited about the fact that the kids are so much want to be a part of it. We have a parent meeting today, and at the parent meeting, we will be telling the new parents what we do and how we do it and all of that. So there's some anxiety sometimes with these new parents.
Right? You sure they won't let their kids go? What we do?
If I get done, it's more anxiety? No. But we do have the opportunity. One of the fantastic things about the youth ministry is that oftentimes the way the gospel is presented to the parents is through the youth ministry, which is pretty cool. And so today we will be giving the gospel to the new parents so that they understand exactly what we teach their kids. And hopefully we'll be in prayer that the Holy Spirit will open their souls to that truth as well if they have not already believed. So be in prayer for all of this stuff. There's so much to pray about. But the only logistical piece of this is, for me anyway, Larry has something, but we still need some help on Saturday the 23rd. To set up from 10 to 2 up at camp. We'd love to have some able bodies, not so able bodies, but want to come up and help clean. It doesn't matter to us. If you want to be a part, we'd love to have you. You can sign up on the sign-up genius that we sent out.
And if you're not one of those that don't want to sign up but want to come, come on.
Come on. We'll have something for you, dude.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Now, I want to challenge every one of you. Please be in prayer every day. Pray for the young people that are coming. Pray for the teachers. Pray for the staff. Different things you can pray. Safe travel. Safety while there. Spiritually. That the Holy Spirit will work on the speakers and on the young people who are listening. Pray for safety of coming home. Whatever way you want to pray. Every day, please be in prayer. Just pick out something. And say, today, Father, I'm going to pray for their spiritual understanding, that they will hear things, understand them, and be committed to living that way. And then maybe another day, pray for the teachers. Another day, pray for the staff. Another day, pray just for Chris Day. Another day, pray for Laura. Let me tell you something about Laura Day. She almost didn't want to go. Today's her birthday. She's too young for all of this stuff. She should be out playing around. So happy birthday, baby. Good. So please be in prayer every day. Just think, I wish you'd take 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. I don't care if it's just 1 minute. 1 minute every day. Pray something for this camp. Please. I believe in the power of prayer. So please be in prayer. Now, I got me my camp shirt. Now, if you don't have one, you can order. Do I look good in pink, hon? So there we are. So that's going to be our shirts. And so please be in prayer. Um, 911 should have woken up a lot of people. It really didn't. We got over it pretty quickly. What happened in Dallas this weekend, because it's close to home, gets our attention a little more. People, I believe these things are going to intensify. I do not think these are rare occasions anymore. I feel very sorry for our young people. If they ever needed Christ, if they ever needed the Word of God, they need it today. I thought I needed it in the 40s and 50s. They need it today. I want to tell you something. So do all of us. I think the time is going to come when you're going to need the Lord, His Word, and one another. You better start dropping all your little pettiness toward other believers. Start dropping that stuff You're going to need their encouragement, and you're going to need to encourage them. We're going to need the assembly. In a few moments, we're going to be taking a vote. Do we want to renew the lease for here? We need to assemble somewhere. The assembly is extremely important. And it's going to become more important, I believe, just to take out time and sing praises to God, as we'll see in Colossians, and to study His Word and encourage one another. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to give you three verses this morning in light of what's happened in Dallas, in light of what I think is coming to all of America. See, what you have happening, people, is a reason for taking over police stations and police forces, federalizing them. Now think about this, federalizing police forces, which, by the way, some have already been federalized. This is not something that I'm dreaming up. I understand, I think it's 12% police forces have already been federalized. They start federalizing. They come down with a order. You will not jail, arrest more blacks than you do whites. You arrest whites whether it's right or wrong, or you ignore the blacks wrong. You do the same quota with the Mexican people. You leave the Muslims alone. Do not shoot nor arrest them. This is an order from your government. If you do not do it, we cut off your funds. This is a federal police force now. We cut off your funds. These are the type of things that I see coming in this country. We're going to take the guns away from the law-abiding citizens so only criminals have them, so we know who's going to rule. The criminal. I mean, these things are not made up. Read your history books. These are the things that are going on. And one of the most famous lines in literature, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. So, this has to be up to you and your relationship with the Lord. Don't try to find your confidence and your peace in the police or gun. Try to find it in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. He's going to be your only peace. Second passage, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's read verses 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. That's our confidence. That's our gospel. Let us hold fast our confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. People, we're going to need the assembly. Better find an assembly where you can grow in the Word of God and be with believers who are like-minded. Be encouraged in the truth, not in fear. And finally, Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5. Let your character be free from love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. There's our courage, people. There's our strength. He will never leave us, never forsake you. As long as you abide in him, in Him and in His Spirit. Don't get too alarmed by all that's going on. Don't get alarmed at all. Just in your soul, pray at peace. I know who's in control. I know who's in control. I know that He works all things together for good. For them that love Him, I will make it my task to stay in the Spirit and love Him. For the love that He's talking about is the love as a fruit of the Spirit. So you better know how to be filled with the Spirit, and then you better stay there. Okay. Anyone not have the handout, the Holy Spirit? Anyone not have it? Okay. James, can you get me some? Oh, you've got some. Anyone else not have the Holy Spirit? Manager, all right. We need two more here. These two lovely ladies here. There you go, Brian. Thank you. What a beautiful question. You've given me something to teach. I'll work on the difference and the strength. Okay? Alright. Good. Alright. The Holy Spirit. I gotta look at the Greek words and see what's going on. The Holy Spirit. Colossians 1:11. Oh no. See, John Hens, he trusts the Holy Spirit from up here. I've got to have this. See, John doesn't have to have this. I said, look, I have full trust in the Holy Spirit when I'm putting this together. That's when I'm really with Him. So, but he'll work on giving you some kind of answers. But I've got to trust Him, open up my Greek Bible, see what's going on. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. One verse, powerfully important, and so let's be sure that we're in the Holy Spirit, because He's the teacher, not me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. How grateful we are for Your Word, that we can come together, open up, and let the Holy Spirit open our hearts, our minds, our souls to the truth that's in here. That Heavenly Father will know how to live each day, know how to make decisions that we have to make with our time, with our money, our friends, so many decisions that we make each day, that we will be guided by Your Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we move now to the 11th verse, the 6th petition in Paul's prayer. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. I'll tell you right up front, this is talking about the Holy Spirit. In my opinion, this is one of the most beautiful declarations, one of the most powerful declarations in all the Bible concerning the Holy Spirit. The strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Now, to grasp the significance of this awkward phrase, and it is a little awkward, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, to understand, to grasp the significance, we have to understand why. Why Paul desires believers to be strengthened with all power. And this is stated at the end of verse 11. For, that's for the purpose, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously. Okay, big deal. What does that mean? Okay, steadfastness. This is the Greek word, upomone. And patience is our friend, makrothumia, or long-suffering, in describing spiritual love in 1 Corinthians 13. And then Paul desires that these be accompanied and completed joyously. Question. What are patience, long-suffering, and joy? Answer. These are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go back. Before we look at those two words, steadfastness and patience, let's go back and look at the opening phrase now, that we have an ideal of what's going on. Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Strengthened. Paul prays that each believer will be strengthened. By the way, I remind you, the 7 petitions in this prayer by Paul, great outline for you in praying for one another, in praying for yourself, in praying for these young people, in praying for anyone. These are 7 beautiful outline of prayer petitions. Now, Paul is praying each one be strengthened to produce the Christian virtues mentioned at the end of the verse. You're not going to produce them in the flesh. So we immediately learn something. It requires strength to have patience and long suffering. Whatever those are, it's going to require a lot of strength. Now, some of us know just to have patience requires a lot of strength. God, help me have patience and get it to me right now. It's very difficult. So we know it's going to require strength just from that itself. Now, what kind of strength? Not physical, not even mental. Spiritual strength. The Greek word is dunamao, from the Greek dunamis, referring to the inherent power, the inherent strength of the Holy Spirit. How do I know this refers to the Holy Spirit? Because I said so? I wouldn't buy that. If I were you, just because He said so? Uh-uh. How do you know this refers to the Holy Spirit? I'm so thankful you're astute like that. Let's look at Galatians 3:5, which James put in here. So then, does He, God the Father, who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you, do it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now you should recall that we have to do some work here of the original manuscript. So then, does He, God the Father, who provides you, supplies you, should be graciously supplies you at the point of faith in Jesus Christ with the Spirit? That's the Holy Spirit. Now, the original manuscript says, who works miracles among you? No, that's incorrect. Works is a participle, even working. See that word miracles? That's our word dunamis. And should read working power, working strength. And the preposition is not among you, but in you. So this wonderful verse should smoothly read, does He who graciously supplies you with the Spirit, even working, talking about the Holy Spirit, even working power in you, does He do it, does He supply it to you by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So dunamis refers to the inherent power or strength of the Holy Spirit. Any questions? Okay, let's go back to Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all power. Strengthened is a present passive participle. That passive is important. That means the believer receives. The passive voice you receive. The believer receives this power. They're strengthening from the Holy Spirit. And how do we receive it? Same way we receive faith, salvation by faith in Christ, by faith. Strengthened with all power. This time we have the same strengthened, dunamis, with all power. This time we have the same root word we just had of the Holy Spirit, dunamis. Again referring to the power, the strength of the Holy Spirit. But don't speed read past that all-inclusive all power. That is all the power of the third member of the Godhead. People, in John it says, greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. Every one of you, if you're a believer in Christ, inside of you is the third member of the Godhead and all His power. Why do you and I have to fear anyone or anything? Now, let's note a few things about all power. One, all power means that the Holy Spirit gives every believer who is trusting in Him, the Holy Spirit, the power to persevere in any and every circumstance, to persevere in every problem the believer might encounter that involves people, anyone, anywhere, at any time. It involves perseverance in circumstances, perseverance in regard to people. We will study this at the end of verse 11. Secondly, all power means the power to overcome any and every temptation to sin that may come into your path. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Why are you able? Because of the Holy Spirit is in you. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. He did that by supplying you with the Holy Spirit. One of the great problems with young people today, and even a lot of adults today in America, we don't worry about sin. What's sin? Don't talk about it in school. Don't talk about it in movies. Magazines don't talk about it. The book, not Facebook, the book talks about it. Got to know what sin is. You've got to know the power of sin. You've got to know how horrible it is in your relationship with God. Don't fear it in judgment. He took care of all the judgment on the cross. But as far as our daily life is concerned, when you come across a temptation, and there are all kinds of temptations, because Satan is a genius, he knows what will tempt you. And what will tempt you will not tempt you. What will tempt you will not tempt this person. What tempts them will not tempt you. He knows what will get you, and he knows how to do it. He knows how to bring you down. Point three. All power refers to all the power of the third member of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit, who is omnipotent. So you have omnipotent power residing inside you. Well, I don't feel it. No, you don't feel it. It's there. God gave it to you, and you know it by faith, and you appeal to it by faith. Four, all power is also referring to the positive side of our life on earth. We have seen that Paul prayed for an increase in the knowledge of God and all spiritual wisdom. There's that word all again. All power means that God has provided every believer with the inner power to keep on growing in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. He's provided the Word. And that's the only place it's going to be is in the Holy Spirit and in the Word of God, the Bible. It's going to have to be in the power of the Spirit, not in the flesh. You're not going to get this in the flesh. It's got to be in the power of the Spirit. So God has provided us with the Holy Spirit as a teacher. He's provided us with the Word of God. He's provided us a local church, and He's provided men with the gift of pastor-teacher. Whether or not that man does his job, studying and teaching, is a whole other issue. You have to decide, is this man studying where he can teach me the knowledge of God, knowledge of Christ, where I can grow in Christ or not? You have to decide for yourself. So this is the great issue. Point five, we have seen that Paul prayed that they walk, that is, live, in a manner to please the Lord and be worthy of the Lord. All power means that no believer is without excuse, for you have the inner power in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to walk in a manner and live in a manner that will glorify Jesus Christ, that is worthy of Him. Not worthy of man, not worthy of you, worthy of Him. Who are you seeking to please? Yourself, someone else, or the Lord? How do I know what pleases Him? That's why we study the Word of God. Let me tell you something. A lot of people want a relationship with God on their terms. I can live the way I want to live, sinful or whatever. I love the Lord. He loves me. And we get along real. You don't get that on your terms. I'm sorry. This is on God's terms. And you better know what they are if you want to live worthy of Him. You don't get it on your terms. What I think. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what I think. What saith the Word of God? That's the great issue. Six, Then Paul prayed that they would bear fruit in every good work, something we cannot do in the flesh. But the all power of the Holy Spirit enables every believer to bear fruit that glorifies Jesus Christ and God the Father. And finally, 7, all power means you will never be lacking in your spiritual life to live a moral life, power to forgive, power to overcome any and every circumstance of life, power to persevere in long-suffering in regard to people in your life. That's what the all power means. Don't speed read past it. Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Now this time we have a different word for might. It's the word kratos. Now the word kratos refers to the ruling power of the Holy Spirit. Denotes the presence and significance of force or strength rather than its exercise. This recognizes the authority, the place of the Holy Spirit in your life to live your life for Christ. The Complete Word Study Dictionary of the New Testament. In the New Testament, kratos always refers to authority above that of humans. The Complete Bible Library says that. So here are two different lexicons. Denotes the presence and significance of force or strength rather than its exercise. Or, in the New Testament, always refers to the authority. Who's the authority in your life? See, God set up the home, mother, father, beautiful design, that's totally collapsing in America, and so therefore, so are all the benefits. A mother and father teaches the child respect of authority, parental authority. People, it's not about you. As a mother and a dad, it's not about you respecting you. You're teaching them to respect authority. That old lady that reared me for the first 10 years didn't have a dad. And she had the authority on both. Sometimes what happens with a single mom, they give in. They don't want to overbearing. So because the poor child doesn't have their father and all of this kind of stuff. And they try to, you know, make it a little easier. My mom didn't go by that philosophy. Her philosophy was, you're going to learn to respect authority. And whether I have to use a razor strap or a stick that you went and picked, boy, did I learn that lesson. Go get a stick. First time I came back with a little twig. That didn't work. So, it's got to teach them. It's not about you, parents. It's not about whether they like you or not and respect you or not. It's about teaching them to respect authority. Police authority. Teacher authority. A woman to respect the authority of her husband. The teaching, the things that need to be taught in a home. That's what this is about. And that's what kratos is. Who has authority in your life? And people, the authority must be in our first level in our life, the Holy Spirit, who takes us to the second level, Jesus Christ, who takes us to the third level, God the Father. So, according to His glorious authority, if you please. The Holy Spirit has authority over you when you're walking in Him, when you follow Him, Galatians chapter 5. So here we see the Spirit of the Lord has authority. We have studied how so many things that are said of both the Holy Spirit are said of Jesus Christ. And we studied, I think it was 26 things that are said about Christ, also said about the Holy Spirit. Well, it should not surprise you that Jesus Christ is said to also have this authority over us. Ephesians chapter 1:19. And what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? There are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might. That word might is authority. His authority. You will note here four words for power in this passage. Dunamis, or the surpassing greatness of His power, dunamis. In accordance with the working energy, in the strength, kratos, in His might, ikos. Of course, we could spend a long time on these terms, but let's just oversimplify it. Dunamis, inherent power. The power in and of the Holy Spirit. Energeo, this is the word, energia, operational power, the power to produce fruit, the power to forgive, the power to respect authority, the power to live your life worthy of the Lord. Kratos, ruling or authoritative power, and Iskos, endowed power. Also, the Word of God has authority. Acts chapter 19, verse 20. So the Word of the Lord was growing mightily, increasing in authority and prevailing. Increasing in authority over the world. That's what was happening. Does this Word have any authority in your life? Is this book just a book kept on a shelf? Kept in your trunk of your car? Does this book have authority in your life? When you wonder, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I go here? Should I go there? Should I spend my money here? Should I spend my... You go to the Word. You open it up. You go to prayer for guidance. This is important things that we're dealing with. So God the Spirit and God the Son and the Word of God all have authoritative power, but it's up to you whether or not they have authoritative power over you. It's up to you. And to reach your daily decisions that you have to make. Alright? Colossians 1:11. Strengthen. You, the believer, be strengthened with this inherent power, with all power, the Holy Spirit, according to His glorious might. This is the authoritative power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing, just in a second, right now. I don't know how any of you are from, some of you have voiced it. I'm thankful to James. We're going over this stuff very quickly. If you can take this down and go over it, read it, go through these verses, follow it through, see if you understand what's going on in this. So I'm very thankful that James does this on his own time. We don't pay him to do this. He just does it. And once in a while, I push his door right up to the final hour. Most of the time, I try to get in it to him sooner. But you study these things. Now, why? Why does Paul pray that believers have the power of the Holy Spirit in them? This brings us to the seventh petition of Paul for these believers and for each of us throughout the church age. For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously. We will list the seventh petition of Paul's prayer for these believers as Christ formed in you. Why this reference to this petition? Why do I call it Christ in you for this petition? If we studied the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5, we will see 9 fruit listed, but in the singular. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. Why 9 singular? Because people, the combination of the 9 results in Christ being formed in you. What does Christ look like? Open the Bibles to Galatians 5:22. Not now, but look at the fruit of the Spirit. What does Christ look like? That's what Christ looks like. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. The impacts of spiritual love. That's what Christ looks like. You want to know what Christ looks like? Read Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, the combination of all 9 results in Christ formed in you, which is where Paul is headed in Colossians 1:27, coming up, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. People, where are people going to see the love of Christ today? He is not here. He is absent. He is gone. School, work, social life, church, traveling, your journey through life is where they're going to see the love of Christ, if they're going to see it at all. It's going to be in you. We all don't go to the same places. I can't go where you go. You don't go where I go. We all reveal to the world what the love of Christ looks like. And right now, the world doesn't see it too often. The world doesn't see it. The world doesn't even hear it. From a lot of preachers. Heard some various reports by preachers over what's happened in Dallas. Sickening. Sickening stuff. I want to see the love of Christ. It's going to be in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the beginning of getting to verse 127, we have verse 111. Strengthen with all power of the Holy Spirit according to His glorious might. Why? Why does Paul pray that these believers have the power of the Holy Spirit in them? Seventh petition. For the attaining of all steadfastness joyously. All right, let's look at the phrase, for the attaining. It's a prepositional phrase in the Greek. For the purpose that you might have these qualities. All of that is what that preposition means. For the purpose that you might have these qualities. It is so important to the Christian to be endowed by the Holy Spirit. So much is accomplished when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. No, you don't experience it. Don't experience it. It doesn't make you some kind of babbling fool. It happens inside your soul. Simplified in your life. Simplified in your perseverance. In hardships in life, difficulties in life. It's exemplified in what you say when things like what happened in Dallas this weekend happen. What happens? How you can use this to express it's tough, but my God is in control. Oh, you're one of those religious fanatics. Hey, you ask. You ask me. It's that simple. That's why I'm at peace in my soul. I'm not alarmed, I'm upset, and I'm not in fear. My God is in control. That's what they will see. And some will be attracted to that. Now, for the purpose that you might have these qualities, it is so important to the Christian to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So much is accomplished when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. For an example, He teaches us the truth of Scripture. People, just because somebody's up preaching doesn't mean they're speaking the truth. Remember, there are words like grace, love, faith. They all don't mean the same thing. Just because a preacher uses those words doesn't mean he means the same thing. What does he mean by grace? What's he mean by faith? What's he mean by love? These are words that you have to understand what they mean. This becomes an issue. Secondly, He makes righteous all the good that we do under His power. He leads us where God desires us to be. Let me just go back to the second one. Two people can give in a church. Two people can sing. Two people can pray. One filled with the Spirit, one not. One's not righteous. If it's not done in the Holy Spirit, I don't care how much you give, how sincere you are, all this stuff, how much you cry. You're not filled with the Spirit. It's not righteous. God's looking for righteousness. He leads us where God desires us to be. He gives power over sin. He increases our knowledge of Jesus Christ and of God the Father. And He forms Christ in us. That's just a few of the things that the Holy Spirit accomplishes. All of this by or through the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which three are we have mentioned in Paul's prayer. Now, filled with His glorious might, that is the Holy Spirit, for the purpose that you may attain all steadfastness. First of all, again, don't speed read past that word all. All steadfastness. Let us look at steadfastness, then we'll note all. Steadfastness. I'm not going to do this. Don't get excited. Some of you get frightened. Some of you get, oh boy, I get to talk. I would love to hear. Define steadfastness. Just define it. See how you would define it. Let's see how the Bible defines steadfastness. To appreciate this word, it should be noted with the accompanying and patience. Steadfastness. And patience. Steadfastness is the Greek word hupomone. Patience, makrothumia. But these words carry the idea of succeeding patience. I hope he doesn't mind. But James, when he was working on this one, he called and said, I won't be at church Sunday morning. He is here. And I said, well, why not? He said, of all your messages, this one stepped all over me. And I don't care to come and have you berate me publicly, and so I won't be there. And I hope it does the same with you. This gets personal. This gets down to where we live. Point two, steadfastness, hupomone, refers to patience as to circumstances of life. Things would happen in our daily lives. A flat tire. The boss says no. The teacher says you got to do this, whatever it may be. Point three, while macrothumia concentrates on patience in regard to people. Hupomone, things and circumstances. Macrothumia, people. Those are, you know, if it was not for things and circumstances and people, we'd all get along in life. We'd all just get along in life. But doggone it, there are circumstances, and then there are always those people. Some of them I love, sometimes. See? Let's take a look now. Four. Steadfastness refers to persevering in your walk in the Holy Spirit, your growth in the knowledge of the Lord, growth in the knowledge of God, growing in the Word, that's persevering, or enduring, as to things or circumstances. The point being under steadfastness is that the believer does not allow, does not give in when things or circumstances, and allow things or circumstances to cause them to desert their spiritual momentum. Become angry, become discouraged, become disillusioned. I'm not going to church. I don't care about the Holy Spirit. This just, I can't, I don't want to handle this. Does not allow things or circumstances to cause them to stop walking by faith in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, often things in our lives or circumstances occur that causes us to stop trusting the plan of God. I just give up. I'm going to stop going to church. God doesn't love me anymore. He didn't let me have the car I wanted. He didn't let me have this. He didn't let me have that. And different things that happen in life. But we're not the people yet. These are just things, circumstances that happen. This kind of giving in to circumstances causes teams to lose in the fourth quarter or in the ninth inning, or causes believers to just retreat from the relationship with God, abandon the study of the Word of God. I don't know why I'm doing it. If he can't do this, if this happens, and that happens, and I quit. I got up, got dressed, come to church, had a flat tire, had a fender bender, had this happen. And if that's the way God's going to do, I'm through. See? Circumstances. Things that happen in our lives. Let me warn you. This is important. Satan has been around a long time, and he knows just how to attack each one of us individually. This is one reason we do not judge another believer. A circumstance that does not seem to bother you, that same circumstance causes another believer to break down and move out of a relationship with the Lord, and you judge them. How dare you? That's not your area. It seems simple to you. And it may be simple for you. That's not your area. The death of someone. One we love becomes desperately ill. Financial loss. A car wreck. Loss of home or job. Mention some of the biggies. But just things in life. What bothers some doesn't bother others. There's just certain things that if we don't want, it's not a test to us. I grew up in a home. Brothers, half-brothers, and sisters, half-sisters, and all this stuff. You could leave, and we, back when money was important, a quarter. It would be there. The next day, it would be right there. It just, stealing wasn't ideal. I'm not bragging. I'm not going to talk about what is my deal. But I'll say, that isn't my deal. That just isn't part of my deal. Somebody else? All different people. And the adversary knows you. He knows what kind of circumstance. what kind of things to bring into your life to distract you from Christ. Each of these are examples of things or circumstances that some believers simply cannot bear up under. Please do not judge how another believer handles circumstances of life. Pray for them rather than criticizing them. Help them if you can. Satan knows what will be a challenge to you, and he knows what is a challenge to them. Beautiful verse on helping one another in regards to circumstances of life, 2 Corinthians 1:6. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, deliverance and affliction. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Sometimes people suffer. I wonder why I'm sick. I wonder why this is going on. What's happening? See? It may not be about you at all. I'm sorry. I know you hurt. I know you're in bed. But it's not about you. It's about somebody else. In your family, in your life. It's about them. It's not about you. You just bear up and enjoy the bedtime. Because it's not about you. It's about someone else. Sometimes it is about you. Take note. But don't overthink on it. Remember our family. Oh, I'm sick, but I'm going to persevere. I'm going to go do this and do that. Let me tell you something, people. Illnesses are not all of Satan. God brought illness to Paul so that Paul would stay in Galatia and have the writing of the book of Galatians. Because he got sick. He didn't plan on staying there. He planned on going somewhere else. God said, no. But I know you. You're hard-headed. You're going to do what you want to do. So I'll just slow you down myself. Became sick and had to stop in Galatia. So people, God works in mysterious ways. Satan works. That's why you want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have been noting that the first event after the rapture is how each one of us will stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ for the evaluation of our spiritual life, not sin. I make that very clear when we talk about the judgment seat of Christ. Sins will not be mentioned. Why? Taking care of at the cross. What will be talked about and looked at by Christ, when you stand personally, looking at Him face to face, does He see Himself in you? Did you walk in the Holy Spirit and have Christ formed in you? That's what He's looking at. That's what He's looking at. And if you're walking in the Spirit, I look forward to it. It's going to be a great day, man. I can't wait for the rapture and then stand before Christ. Not fearful. Doesn't have to be fearful. Only one kind of person, one main kind of person fears a test in school. People like me that didn't prepare. We're scared to death. We look over at Miss Smarty, Mr. Know-It-All, and went to a movie last night, and then they will thank you. I'm so happy for you. See? And they just go in and they ace it. People like me sweating, get the paper all wet with our sweat, turning it in. See? People, when you walk with the Lord, you walk in the Spirit. No sweat. You walk with Him. Romans 8:25. But if, maybe you will, maybe you won't, that's the if, we hope, have confidence for what we do not see. And what is it that we do not see? Eternity future. After death. With this includes, and this includes the judgment seat of Christ. So if we are confident that we stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, the result will be with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. We wait eagerly for it. Perseverance, that's our word, upomone. That is patience. Under things or circumstances that happen in our lives, we persevere. We do not lose hope of all that awaits for us after death. There's no way I can or will mention all the things or circumstances that will occur in your life. But a short list is given by Paul, 2 Corinthians 6:4, under the word everything. So he covers it. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God in much, okay, here we go, endurance, hupomone, perseverance, in afflictions, powerfully descriptive word of things or circumstances that can often and does occur in our lives. The Greek word means, that word affliction, to crush. Things or circumstances that seem to just crush the life out of you. It means to press in upon you, to continually squeeze in on your life, on your soul. Tribulations, troubles, afflictions. Then in hardships, the word hardships, the King James interestingly translates this, necessities. What does that mean? Hardships, necessities. The point here is that this word is in contrast to willingness. To willingness. You do not willful hardships. You do not will hardships. They happen in life. There are things that happen in our lives because this is Satan's world. Hardships due to the nature of the automobile. Hardships due to the nature of economics. These are not willingly. That's why the King James says necessities. These are things that happen in life. Get over it. They happen. Learn to persevere. Hupomone. Continue walking with the Lord, even in the midst of these. The third category that Paul mentions here, distresses. This word is in contrast to afflictions, in that this word, afflictions, pressing on someone from without, such as persecution. While this word, distresses, refers to distress, that arises from within, such as anguish, grief, heartache, headache, anxiety, inner pain, torment, even inner torture. Some religious self-righteous person might like to say, those are sin. But let me tell you something. Be careful when you listen to people like that. 2 Corinthians 6:4, Paul is experiencing distresses. He's not in sin, with no indication of sin. 2 Corinthians 12:10, he suffers from these distresses for Christ's benefit. Can these inner distresses become sin? Absolutely. Absolutely. Heartbreak can become sin. But the initial heartbreak is not. We need to cut them off before they become sin. Before they can overwhelm us to where we give in and drop out of spiritual momentum in living our life worthy of Christ. There are a multitude of verses that addresses heartache, a broken heart in the Word of God. We shall know just a few of these verses. But remember, all the verses in the world, now listen, all the verses in the world will not help you in time of inner distress if you do not believe them and live by faith in them. Knowing them is of little benefit if you don't exercise them, if you don't believe them. Okay, the motto of camp, do you believe? What do we mean? Do you believe it to the point to affect your life? That's what we mean. Not do you believe it like do you believe the world is round? Do you believe it or change your life? So let me repeat this now. It's in the center of page 13. There are a multitude of verses that address heartache and broken heart. We shall know just some of these verses, but remember, all the verses in the world will not help you in time of inner distress if you do not believe them and live by faith and keep your eyes on Him, not on your problems. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves or heals or delivers those who are crushed in spirit. Not in sin, just life. Crush them. Sometimes life will do this to some believers. Circumstances of life. This is when you come. This is when you offer your hand of encouragement, not judgment. Shame on you. You offer encouragement, strength, guidance. And we have not even come to the word macrothumia, which deals with perseverance with regard to people. That'll be another biggie. Now, if you're really under inner distress, as you read a passage like this, you ask, how? How is the Lord going to heal, if it says heals, or delivers those who are crushed in spirit? How is the Lord going to heal or deliver me through this? Is he going to remove the adverse circumstances? Is he going to make things right again? Well, I'm sorry to tell you, the answer just maybe be not necessarily. He's not going to necessarily make things change. Make your husband come back. Make your wife come back. Make the car not in a wreck. Do this, do that. Change your finances. He may not. This is why Paul prays in Colossians 1 that they be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. If you understand this, then passages like Isaiah 12, 2 and 3, behold, God is my deliverance, my salvation, eternal salvation, and therefore he will keep me through life. So, I will trust and not be afraid. He's my salvation for all eternity. So, on earth and life, I will trust him and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song. Song. Not in circumstances of life, not in by changing the circumstances, but just in knowing him, increasing in the knowledge of him, being occupied with him. And he has become my salvation, my deliverance, my healing. Verse 3, therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation, springs of deliverance. Now, since we're here, note in verse 3, that word joyously draws. In Colossians 1:11, for the attaining of steadfastness and patience, joyously. People, let me tell you something. God, Jesus Christ, wants you to have joy. My joy I give to you. He wants every believer to have, not in circumstances of life. When you can have inner joy when it shouldn't, that's when you know it's of the Holy Spirit. What's the, boy, everything's going great. Man, I'm making money. I'm passing in school. This is happening. That, I don't know if that's the Holy Spirit or not. Before, when things are so crashed and there's no reason for it, and I still have that joy, I still have that inner peace, then I know faith works. The Holy Spirit is powerful. That's what is happening here. So, Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Remember, he does this through his mighty spirit and his glorious word. Now it is up to you to stay in the Spirit, to stay in his word. Before we leave this beautiful Psalm 147, note verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant, and praise is becoming. Praise is becoming him, praise is becoming us to praise him in song. We'll be studying this in Colossians, and I love this. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. Let's just read verses 4 through 6. He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite and understanding what you're going through and the torment of your soul and life. The Lord supports the afflicted. He brings down the wicked to the ground. So being afflicted is not a sin. Let me know I really need him. And just reading the Word of God in the power of the Spirit gives peace, instills joy. Isaiah 26:3, King James, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, inner peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Why? Because he trusteth in him. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Know several things about this verse. God acts in response to you, keeping your mind on him. See, it's up to us Keep your mind on Him so that He can keep you in perfect peace. This is very important. Depends on us keeping our mind on Him. If you keep your mind on the circumstances that come into your life that brought you down, you will not have this inner peace. Don't keep your mind on the circumstances. Keep your mind on Him. Note also, everlasting strength. This means, that word everlasting means in any and every circumstance in your life, He will keep you in perfect peace, whatever the circumstances are. There are so many other passages we could look at, but let us move on in Colossians 1:11. But please remember, reading these passages does nothing at all if not mixed with faith. You've got to believe them and live them. Strengthened with all power, the Holy Spirit, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness. Hupomone, circumstances, things in life, we do not allow to intrude on our growth, going to church, singing, praying, having a relationship with the Lord. And then He says, and patience. I think I've overburdened you enough with circumstances and things. We'll begin here next Sunday morning with people. So just kind of handle people this week, but we'll come to macrothumia next Sunday morning.
Are you sure you don't want to get that in before the congregation?
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Okay. Let's close in a word of prayer. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. You know the stars by name. Control the rivers, the oceans. And make you care about each of us individually. That's just awesome. I'm unimportant. The world will never know about me. But you care. You have plans for me. You watch over me day by day. That's just awesome. Such love, Heavenly Father, compels us to want to walk in this spirit. Compels us to want to learn more and more about You. To glorify You. To be worthy. Father, we pray You take the things we've seen this morning. Let them first of all settle in our souls and an impact in our lives. Father, pray these things in Christ's name. And for His glory, amen.